You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb, and I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. Each week, we bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life through conversations with the most inspiring women in and around the world of food. I'm calling today's show Girls Gone Wild because we're talking to some very adventurous people in this episode. First, let's thank our sponsors. Le Cordon Bleu. If you're daydreaming about culinary school, maybe it's time to say bonjour to Le Cordon Bleu. Learn more about the legendary culinary school's most prestigious professional qualification, Le Grand Diplôme, by visiting cordonbleu.edu. And Bob's Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill is an employee-owned company that's been offering organic, gluten-free, and stone-ground products for decades. Visit bobsredmill.com today and use the code CHERRY25 for 25% off your order. That's a great deal, ladies. And Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs. Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs are better than cage-free. They are bullshit-free. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. We have some housekeeping for you. Cherry Bomb will be hosting a brand new event this October. It's called Cherry Bomb University. The tagline is the School for Smart Cookies. We're taking over the Food and Finance High School in Manhattan on October 26th, 27th, and 28th. We have a fun assembly planned for Friday night with, ready, Professor Christina Tosi. Then we have classes on Saturday and Sunday, plus the Smart Cookie Bake Off each day. Tickets are on sale right now on cherrybomb.com. We have a great weekend planned for you, and we would love to see all of you smart cookies there. So our first guests are calling in today from a campsite in Northern California. They are chef and adventurer, Sarah Glover, and photographer Louisa Brimble. Sarah is the author of Wild Adventure Cookbook, a gorgeous cookbook that just came out this week. Louisa took all the incredible photographs. Wild is such a bold, gutsy celebration of life, food, and the outdoors, and I'm so excited to talk to them. We will be right back with Sarah Glover and Louisa Brimble after this word from Le Cordon Bleu. Are you daydreaming about culinary school again? Make this the year your dreams become reality with Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school. Study classic French culinary techniques in cuisine and patisserie as part of their exclusive 9-month Le Grand Diplôme and graduate into a world of opportunity. You also can extend your course of studies to include culinary management and dedicated internships. Le Cordon Bleu has locations in more than 20 countries around the world and located within some of the best foodie cities out there. London, Ottawa, Madrid, Bangkok, Tokyo, and of course, the spiritual home of cuisine and Le Cordon Bleu, Paris. Turning your daydreams into reality is closer than ever. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more and let your culinary adventure begin. All right, I am so pleased to welcome Sarah Glover and Louisa Brimble of the Wild Adventure Cookbook to Radio Cherry Bomb. Ladies, are you there?
We are.
Oh, yay. You know, it's so funny. The whole time I'm talking about you, and I'm like, wow, I hope to God they're actually on the line. So I'm glad you're there.
We are sitting in an airstream in the Russian River Forest.
Wow. Okay. Well, it sounds like you're sitting in an airstream in the Russian River Forest. It's a little. The sound's a little rough, but I love you both. So we're gonna stay at this. All right. I just have to say, I love this book so much because it is so gutsy. Sarah, you surf, you snorkel, you fish, you light fires, you cook, you camp, you bake cakes. Like, I honestly think I'm not being paid to say this, but I really think every person listening to the show should go buy this book and pledge to be more adventurous. And especially if you have a preteen or a teenager in your life, definitely buy it buy it for them, buy it for yourself. You know, I put the book in that same category as like Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls or the movie Wonder Woman. You know, it's just something we ladies have to support, because if we want to see more things like this, we need to support projects like Wild. So that's it. Thanks for calling in. All right.
Thank you,
Gary. So anyway, Sarah, tell me, I'm really curious, were you born this way? Or, you know, is adventure, being adventurous, nature? Is it nurture? How does that happen?
Well, I grew up in Tasmania, and I guess my mom was always, you know, we'd wake up in the morning and she'd open the door, and as kids, we'd just run outside. And so from a young age, you know, I'd be living up the apricot tree or, you know, hanging in the backyard. I just always loved being outdoors and in nature. And so I guess that's always been a part of me, and I really enjoy just being outdoors. And then the cooking side of things just naturally progressed from there. I've got 5 brothers, so I spent a lot of time trying to keep up with them, show them that I could do what they were doing. So I think that's maybe a little bit of it. But obviously still being feminine at the same time. So I've been on this interesting journey, just like being true to being a woman, you know, enjoying cooking, loving being in the outdoors, and, you know, the ocean is a place for me that I just find peace and reflection. And so I guess for me, this book, you know, and, well, this is my life, a bit of a biography of who I am and, you know, what I believe in, and, yeah, so that's sort of a little bit about Wild, how it happened, maybe myself.
So, ladies, you know what? We're having a few technical difficulties with the call.
Okay.
So I have an idea. What if I send you some questions that I plan to ask you, and maybe you can answer them via email for me, and I'll put our interview on Instagram with some pictures from the book. Does that sound like a good workaround for this?
Yeah, no worries.
And we'll put the handles for your Instagram accounts, because your Instagram accounts are as fabulous as the book too. People are going to want to follow along. All right.
Cool.
Well, I'm such a fan of both of yours. I look forward to meeting you both in person one of these days. And we're going to keep pushing this book, because we just want to see it be a huge bestseller. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, Carrie.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye.
All right. Thanks for dealing with our little tech issue there, but I did want to give you a chance to at least hear something from Sarah and Louisa. But like I mentioned, we'll continue the conversation on Instagram. All right, we will be right back with our next guest, Sarah Schneider of New York's Egg Shop, right after this message from our sponsors. Does this happen to you? You need a dozen eggs, you go to the supermarket, you head to the egg section, and you are so confused by what you find there, you freeze. You want nice eggs on hand, because maybe you want a cheese and herb omelet for dinner, or in honor of our next guest, an egg sandwich, right? And you know quality eggs make a big difference. And you're a decent person, so it's important the chickens have a good life. But as you stand there, you think to yourself, I have no idea what all these words on the egg cartons mean. So you shrug, pick one, and continue shopping. Stop right there. You are a busy lady. You don't need this bullshit in your life. You need bullshit-free eggs, which is where Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs come in. Their pasture-raised hens roam outside in 108 square feet of space per hen. Those cage-free hens, they never go outside. I tasted the difference once I tried Vital Farms eggs. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. All right, and now it's time for our Bob's Red Mill Minute. Okay, we have a fun thing to talk about today, and this is probably not what you're expecting, because for each of our Bob's Red Mill Minute, we've talked about baked goods and things like that. This is a baked good, but it is not for you. It is for your dog. We're going to talk about homemade dog biscuits. Now, I know a lot of you in the Bomb Squad are proud pet parents, and you have a dog or two, or maybe three, and I'm wondering how many of you have made dog treats from scratch. If you've never done this before, we have an easy recipe for you that we'll share online. It's from my pal, you know her well, Gabby Vigoro, our head baker at Smith Canteen over in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn, my coffee shop, which is right across the street from Cherry Bomb HQ. Not a lot of people know that, so my life pretty much is running back and forth between the two places. But Gabby loves dogs so much, and we have the cutest dogs in our neighborhood, so she decided to make some treats for them to sell at the canteen. Why save all the good stuff for the humans, right? So there are just four ingredients in this. There's Bob's Red Mill whole wheat flour, chicken stock, banana, and because Gabby's a little crazy, she makes peanut butter from scratch for the dogs. So like I said, we'll tweet out the recipe later, but it's super, super simple, and the only special equipment you need are a rolling pin and a cookie cutter. Gabby uses one in the shape of a dog bone, of course. So anyway, we'll send you the recipe. Also about dogs, if you are thinking about maybe adopting a dog, and you know here on Cherry Bomb we're proponents of Adopt, Don't Shop, check out our friends Social Tees, that's T-E-E-S, on Instagram, because they're always looking for folks to adopt the dogs they rescue and for foster parents. All right. So anyway, Bob's Red Mill, thank you for supporting Radio Cherry Bomb. And don't forget, with Bob's Red Mill, you're not just getting quality, you're getting flavor-packed food that tastes amazing. Visit bobsredmill.com today and use the code CHERRY25 for 25% off at checkout. All right. So finally, our guest has been so patient. We got to hang out all day yesterday and now today. Her name is Sarah Schneider, and she is the owner and owner and founder of Egg Shop, which has two locations in New York City. Sarah was working in the fashion world as a denim expert with brands like Levi's, AG, and True Religion when she decided to scramble her life a little. She was obsessed with egg sandwiches and thought the world needed an egg-focused restaurant. So with no restaurant experience, she quit and opened her first spot. She's here to talk to us about her excellent journey. Sarah Schneider, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you for having me.
I wrote, I'm so happy you're here because I finally feel like I met someone as crazy as I am.
Oh, I love that. I am crazy.
Crazy in a good way.
Yes.
Right?
Spontaneous.
So, spontaneous, exactly. So, I got to meet Sarah for the first time yesterday, and we hung out and talked, and she is remarkable, and I really, really am happy you're here to tell your story, because you're proof that, like, if you have an idea, you can kind of sometimes bring it to life.
I'm proof that ignorance is bliss, right? What you don't know can't kill you.
Exactly. So let's start at the beginning. Where are you from?
I grew up in San Diego. I moved to New York when I was 21.
A baby,
and running around and working in the denim industry for 16 years.
Was the plan to get into fashion? Like, did you grow up loving fashion, loving fashion magazines?
I was sort of all over the place. I was like, I actually went to UNLV for 2 years, and then I moved to LA.
UNLV, what is that?
University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. You went to college in Las Vegas?
It's crazy.
I didn't even know that was possible.
I left. After 2 years, I'm like, this is no good for me. And I moved to LA.
I thought it was crazy to go to school in New Orleans, but Vegas, that takes the cake.
Yeah, it was too much. So I had to run away and go to LA as if that was better. And I had big dreams of being an actress and quickly learned, like, that wasn't for me. I didn't want it bad enough.
Wait, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I did musical theater growing up and, you know.
Can you sing?
Ish.
Ish, because I'm going to tell you, talk about crazy. One of my dreams is the Cherry Bomb, like, talent show. And we've already locked in a lot of people for this.
I mean, I have music that I've written and recorded.
Nah.
So
Truth comes out if you dig enough people.
We could talk.
See?
Yeah.
So we've got like Kalu Henry, who wrote Back Pocket Pasta. She can sing.
Oh my God.
Jane Larkworthy, who's guest hosted for me a few times, big singer. Jocelyn and Erica, formerly of White Gold.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
The Butchers. They are trained opera singers.
That's next level.
Right?
Yes.
So we're slowly working on this.
It's gonna. I'll do like a little like country rock vibes for you.
By 2020, we will get this off the ground.
Fabulous.
If not sooner. If not like next week, maybe.
Oh, God.
So anyway. Okay. Musical. You did. Like, tell us, what kind of musical theater?
I mean, no, just in high school, you know, I was like swimming and singing and doing musical theater. And I really thought that I wanted to be an actress. And when I moved to LA, I realized really quickly that I didn't want it as bad as everyone else. And I was working in a Lucky Brand jean store at the time, decided to visit a girlfriend of mine who was living in New York. And I was supposed to come here for a week, and I called my parents and I was like, pack my stuff, I'm staying here. And I immediately was just really lucky and got a job in the store here and quickly sort of moved my way up into the wholesale world. And all of a sudden found myself, you know, slinging denim, if you will, for the next 15 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's the denim? I mean, tell people what the denim world is like for people who are like, what does that even mean that sure. you work in denim?
I mean, so I worked on the wholesale side of things. So I was a salesperson who would work directly with buyers, whether it was like Barney's or Neiman's and Saks. And we would sell in the collections to these buyers. So if you've ever walked into a store and you see what's, you know, merchandise in there, like that was a product of what I was selling into these people. It was super creative, actually, and I loved it. And I loved denim because it was not pretentious, but, you know, super fun and just felt like my style.
And the denim world is so interesting because it's so trend-based.
So trend-based. And you have to, you know, every brand has its own sort of core, what they do best. And so wherever you were working, you sort of had to take that into consideration and then figure out how to layer on trends for whatever brand you were working for and how that sort of worked for that company. Sort of like how you work in a menu.
Right.
You know?
Do you have a go-to jeans brand now?
I have to say I'm still a huge Levi's fan, and then Rachel Comey is like my other go-to.
Oh,
I'm sort of
obsessed.
I don't
have any Rachel Comey jeans. Oh, I love her.
All pants by her. It's like I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely a Madewell jeans girl and Levi's.
Yeah. Madewell's great too.
Madewell has great tall.
They have loads of fits.
They have great tall options. Jeans, right. So I get the tall jeans off the website.
I'm a shorty.
Jeans for everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All the ladies.
All right. So this whole time you're working in denim, you have this burning passion for...
egg sandwiches.
So tell us why you were obsessed with the egg sandwich.
I mean, okay. So I moved to New York. I'm 21. I'm super broke. I'm working in denim and I'm going out a lot, as you do when you first moved to New York, trying to make friends and meeting people. And, you know, you're a little hungover and egg sandwiches are accessible and they're not expensive and you can get them 24 hours a day. So it just sort of became my thing. And as I got older and I had a little bit more money in my pocket and started to sort of give a shit about what I was putting in my body, I sort of became obsessed with the idea of having a restaurant that just had all the options. Like, why can't I be super healthy today? Or why can't I be really hungover and be able to find an egg sandwich and know where the ingredients were coming from and organic eggs and all that jazz? You know, and I was a bruncher. Like, I went out all the time.
A bruncher. I never heard that
It's
term.
Embarrassing, but it's true, you know? In the, like, early 2000s, you'd go have brunch and drink all day and, like, have fun days out on a Saturday. And literally, nobody had egg sandwiches. Maybe they would have one on a menu. And it was such a cult New York City thing, right? I mean, it's quintessential New York, egg sandwiches. And in my mind, at least, that was my experience.
Yeah, I guess for me... growing up here, it was just always an option.
Sure.
But the egg sandwich was definitely my go-to hangover sandwich.
Yeah.
Like a corner deli on like
any
a roll.
Yeah.
You know, just egg, ham, cheese, bacon, whatever, the greasier the better probably.
Right.
I would always say, like, if you ever see me with a corner deli egg sandwich and a Diet Coke.
Oh my God.
You know, it's my one hangover of the year.
That's still my, yeah. my go-to Diet yeah. Coke and an egg sandwich.
But fortunately now it's like down the one time a year, you know, back in the day, maybe
I'm
it
down
was,
to like four.
Okay. I'm older than you. So you have time to catch up.
Okay.
So, okay. So egg sandwiches. So you're talking about opening this egg sandwich restaurant. Your friends probably thought you were like, just,
they thought
like
it was
how,
crazy.
Right. But just how people would talk about like, oh, I'd love to have a bed and breakfast one day.
For sure.
Was it that or were you serious?
I don't know that I was serious at first. It was sort of like a joke. I'd be like, oh, why can't I get an egg sandwich? Like, I want to be healthy. Egg whites, feta, spinach on, you know, healthy, yummy bread wasn't an option anywhere. And I think my friends just got so sick of hearing about, I was calling it egg shop at the time. Like, oh my God,
shut up.
So you
even had the name.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Just like an egg shop, like egg sandwiches. And they really got fed up. It was like, you need to shut up or do something about this. And, you know, it wasn't something I considered because I was out of the culinary world. I wasn't in the hospitality scene. Like, I had no relationship to it. So
had you ever served tables, been a waitress, any of that?
Yeah. When I was in college, I was like the head host at Spago. But like, serious, it was a big job when I was young.
It's a big job.
Super big job. So
So much stuff about you never told me about. It's like I'm learning all these things. College in Las Vegas, head hostess at Spago.
Some of it I want to keep hidden. so I did sort of understand the ins and outs of restaurants. And, you know, I was a salesperson. I feel like I'm good at understanding sort of like what people like and what they want and how to integrate that. And so when we started talking about it, a vision started coming, you know, as it became something that seemed like it could be a reality, even though I was terrified.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk through the next steps.
Sure.
So at what point did you know this could go from just like a fun idea to a real thing?
So my now husband, boyfriend at the time, was like, okay, let's just write a business plan. Let's like see what the numbers look like. And we had a good friend who was in the hospitality world who helped us sort of cultivate that and understand what even a hospitality or restaurant business plan looked like.
Had you ever written a business plan?
No. And so as we were doing that and we were fleshing out ideas of like what I really wanted the menu to be like, it was like, okay, I'm not a chef. I have this vision. How in God's name am I going to find someone to want to work with me on this? And that was really terrifying. It was like, who am I going to approach and how? So I literally started talking about Egg Shop to anyone who would listen and saying, if you know anyone, if you know any chefs, if you have any ideas of people who'd be down to be a part of this. And in true New York fashion, like a proper New York moment, I ran into a friend on the street. I was blah, blah, blahing about Egg Shop. And he's like, you have to meet Nick Corby. He's a chef at Smith & Mills, but he's always looking for cool and interesting ideas. And he set up a meeting. And I almost didn't go because I was so nervous and embarrassed to talk about my egg sandwich idea to an actual chef. I was like, he's going to laugh at me.
So I love this. So you have this idea that you're so passionate about,
yeah.
But on one side, you're also slightly embarrassed.
Terrified. Yeah.
Because you think the culinary world thinks egg sandwiches are a joke.
I mean, right. I thought, like, nobody's done this. It doesn't exist. I'm not reinventing anything. So, like, maybe there's a reason it doesn't exist, right? You just doubt yourself as you do when you have an idea and you're not super comfortable with the world that it entails.
Yeah. I heard some great, it might have been Master of Scale, that podcast I love about business and entrepreneurs. And they said something like, think of all these ideas like Spanx, you know, and just all these crazy ideas that would you have invested in that if somebody came to you? And they listed all these like startup companies, and most of them you're like, no, that probably sounded like an absolutely insane idea. But then those insane ideas are the ones that wind up being wonderful parts of our lives.
And I think we all just like, we're intimidated because we think someone else would have been, you know, ahead of the game and already have thought of it if it was going to be something that would work. But that's just not true. I mean, it takes a lot to start and actually follow through with an idea to conception, right? And there's so many moving parts, and I think a lot of us don't have the support around us or the financials or whatever it takes to see it all the way through.
So you brought up financials. Let's talk about that next, because
that's
always of interest to the Bomb Squad.
Yeah.
So it's not like you came from money and somebody was like, here you go, Sarah.
No.
Have fun.
No.
Here's a check.
It was funny. It was like, okay, I have a savings account, and it's great for where I am in my life. And it's like, am I buying a house and having babies, or am I pursuing this passion? And it wasn't really a question for me. I knew that I was going to pursue this passion, but it was terrifying, you know, and raising money is really challenging. And, you know, for me, at least, we got friends and family to support and invest. And, you know, it's people that you care about. So you hope you're leading them down.
But when you say invest, tell people like how much money you're talking about. Like,
sure. So we raised about $400,000 for the first shop.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Although I speak to people now that own restaurants, they're like, you only raised $400,000.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, how do you raise a million? Like, I had no background in this.
And all friends and family. What was the biggest check you got?
$50,000.
It's a good size.
Yep. That was very helpful. And then loads.
So people really believed in you.
That was like one major person. And then I had a few other people that came in for 20s, and then tons of 5s and 10s, which, you know, is really generous but it's also safe when people go, okay, I can give you $5,000, and that's a lot for a lot of us, but it also like, I'm going to be okay if I lose this. And we're still going to be friends if I lose this.
I feel terrible I have such a hard time taking people's money.
It's really awkward. And you really have to define it before. Like, hey, guys, I might be taking this money, but I cannot guarantee you're getting this back. So this is in good faith, you know? Like, if all goes well, we'll all be high-fiving each other in a few minutes, but like, or in a few years. But Yeah, it's uncomfortable for sure. But for us, reaching out to people who didn't know us, like, that wasn't an option yet. We didn't have any sort of history. Like, again, believing in someone that you don't know is challenging.
That's incredible.
For egg sandwiches.
So you found investors, you found Nick, your chef. How did you find your first location?
Oh, man, we were looking everywhere. At the time, I was living at 43 Canal Street on Ludlow and Canal. I had been there 12 years, and the space below my apartment became available. And it was $5,000 a month. I was like, this is it. This is a space. And my landlord, I had been there forever. He was like, yes, great. We're going to do this. But it had been a copy shop, so there was no infrastructure. And unfortunately, last minute, it was like, oh, no, the raise all of a sudden would be $400,000 just to build the space out, right, with nothing, just to vent it and do all that jazz. And when that fell through, I was really disappointed. It had felt right. Like, it's below my apartment. It feels like this was meant to be. So we went back to the drawing board. And my walk every day had been from Chinatown to Soho when I was in the denim world. And so I was super familiar with Nolita and sort of Chinatown and that area. And I saw this old, a real estate agent showed me this old space. It was called Peche on Elizabeth and Kenmare. And it was tiny, but it was built out and it had a vent and it had a bar and all the things you need. And I walked in and I just, like, you know, you have those moments. I was like, this is it. This is a space. It was set up properly, but it was small. It was like, how many seats does it have? 24 seats. It's like, okay, if no one shows up, it won't be the end of the world.
You could wrap your head around a space that size.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did it have those cute doors that you
did.
Have? Oh, it's so sweet.
It did. Yeah.
It's such a great space. So it's in Nolita.
Yeah.
Tell people the address again.
It's 151 Elizabeth Street. And it was cool because, you know, there was a few places at that time that were around there, but it still felt sort of new. I mean, Butcher's Daughter was Kitty Corner and Black Seed Bagel was down the street. So it felt like the right vibe. It was like signing that lease was the most exciting and terrifying thing I've ever done.
So opening a restaurant is so hard. Oh gosh. Anybody who's done it knows it's just like, it's a beast and you're waiting for them to turn on the gas and all these different things.
God. Getting a liquor license, going in front of a liquor board.
And you have to get fingerprinted.
I remember
getting fingerprinted when I got our liquor license.
Yeah. All of the paperwork and all of the sort of like nuanced things that you go through besides figuring out your menu and your staff and all that jazz is a lot to take in.
And then the background check for the liquor license.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, and even if you're like a good person,
like,
you know, it must have been like the Catholic school thing. I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. And it's like,
what's
I haven't done
past?
Anything. What are they going to dig up? But you still, you know, make up
you
things
think.
In your head. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you get this place open. What was the first day like?
So I had hired this wonderful girl. She had worked around the corner as a barista, and she had run her own little shop. And she's like, you don't need anyone else. Like, I can handle this space. It's just me. I'm like, okay, great. I don't know what it's going to be like. Is anyone going to show up? And when I tell you it was a shit show, it was such a shit show in the best way possible. But it was like, I mean, she was behind the bar whipping up coffees and cocktails, and I was serving and bussing tables probably for the first 3 to 4 weeks. And then I was like, oh, great. Okay, we need to hire a server at least. And even then, like, I don't think I had a busser for the first like year. Like, I was truly doing it all with one barista and one person on the floor.
Wow. What kind of hours were you working?
So when we opened, I was convinced that we could do dinner, you know, egg sandwiches and Jameson's, but, so it was 8 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, that's ambitious. Wow.
Yeah. And
oh my God, you must have never slept.
I didn't sleep.
Wow.
And my now husband at the time was coming in, like trying to do nights for me. And I eventually, after 2 months, moved my baby sister out from San Diego. And I was like, you're running nights. And she stayed here for like 8 months and did that for me because we were dying. It was intense. But, you know, eventually we figured it out. But I was in the shop properly working with no manager for the first 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Our first Labor Day. So we opened mid-August 2014. It's our first Labor Day. You know, again, no idea how busy we're going to be. I walk in, I have a barista there and no server. Shit. Okay. We'll figure this out. I start serving. The next thing you know, there's a line around the corner. There was no help. My sister happened to be in town staying at the hotel next door. She was 3 months pregnant with my brother-in-law. she comes over. I'm like, you need a host. I grabbed my brother-in-law. He starts literally serving tables. I'm running food. I mean, it was just like, it was chaos. And so, you know, the best of the worst days, like that was one of the best of the worst days. Like, all right, people like what we're doing, but like, I got to get situated here.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So that is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's fast forward a little bit. Oh, so you close. So you sure. don't do dinner now.
So
you changed
the hours. Just stopped doing dinner. Right. Yep.
And that's so hard to make decisions like that. Like I told you at Smith Canteen, I decided to close at 3 o'clock yeah. because that 3 to 5 sure. period was just like
it's emotional.
Dead. And it hurts a little.
Yeah. You're like, you really, there's so many things to measure, right? It's like, people want this, but like it's losing money and the staff, it's not good for staff. And at some point you have to make decisions that are just based on facts and like what's good for the business. And as much as I wanted it to work, I mean, we just stopped doing dinner. So we did it for 4 years and it was super fun and it was a great part of the business for the time needed. But I think now it's like, it's fine. Let's just focus on what we do and do it the best we can do.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. And even though it stings a little, you know, I'm sure you're going to do the same. Like we're going to start doing special events and 100%. Renting out the space for parties and all that stuff. And
you figure
but
it
still,
out.
You're just like, wow, those two well, hours.
And I think going back to like, you know, when you have a vision and like some things become the reality and other things don't, like this just, that part didn't work. You know, it's like the other part did. And I'm super grateful for what is working.
Yeah. I should plug the special events that we're doing. We're actually doing a special event with Coco Cakeland, Lindsay Sung, who several of you know. That's in early October. And then we're doing an event with Sister Pie, with Lisa from Sister Pie in Detroit.
Oh,
and it's fun. We're doing cookbook events for them. So you can come and buy the cookbook and try some of their baked goods and meet some folks from the Bomb Squad out of town. All right. So you did that. So let's fast forward. You now have two locations.
Yes.
So things worked out. You obviously found some servers.
Yeah. I staffed up. We figured it out.
Where's your second location?
So we opened in Williamsburg last June. It's 138 North 8th Street. And it's its own beast, you know? Like it's about 3 times the size. And you think you know what you're getting into when you do it again. It's like, okay, I know this is going to be challenging, and I know this is going to be challenging. And, like, nothing works out the way you think it's going to be. Like, the things that I thought were going to be difficult were easy breezy, and new challenges arise. And here we are, and I love it. I mean, the space is gorgeous. It feels like it's just a little bit more grown up, if that makes sense. You know, I think Soho... has a bit more of a cafe vibe, and this is like feels like a proper restaurant, even though we're serving the same food. But it's like it's more accessible.
If you are hungry right now and want to be even hungrier, look at the Instagram account for is it Egg Shop NY?
Egg Shop NYC.
NYC, and you'll get a sense of everything they do. It's not just egg sandwiches anymore. You've got salads, so many beautiful things.
Yeah, it's evolved. You know, it's like I think we were talking about this yesterday, Carrie. I really wanted the menu to have something for everyone so you can be super healthy or super indulgent. And if you don't eat eggs, there's still options for you, which is cool.
What, I mean, I know this is like asking
sure.
who's your favorite child, but like, what's your favorite thing on the menu?
Oh boy. I think my favorite sandwich is called the Pepper Boy and it's scrambled eggs, Gruyere, bell pepper, pepper bacon on a roll.
Yum.
Like, it's like as quintessential, like, egg sandwich as it gets, but it's delicious and probably more of a hangover than a healthy option, but it's fabulous.
What's the most adventurous thing on the menu right now?
That's interesting. We have a BLT Benedict that I think is really cool. You know, we were trying to think of interesting ways to do Benedict. So BLT flavor with that is super cool. I also love in Williamsburg, unfortunately we can't do it because we don't have the space in Olita, but we do a whole program called Going Back to Cali and it's breakfast burritos. And those are like my all-time favorite. And we do a SoCal, which is paying homage to my Southern California roots. It's carne asada, fries, salsa verde.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry right now.
Cheddar.
I had an apple before I got here. I should have had a proper breakfast. I know.
We'll do it.
So what's your food life like at home now? Like you spend all this time in these restaurants.
Sure.
Sometimes you get a little burnt out and you go home and you're like, I really just want a yogurt or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say I have one day off right now on Mondays and I went home and I like made a scrambled egg with bell peppers and avocado. And it's like, this is crazy. Is it like, am I really this obsessed with eggs, or just like, it's the accessibility of it?
Accessibility.
I dabble in cooking. I have to say my husband probably has become the cook or the chef of the house. He's obsessed with slow cooking, and that's super fun. And then we moved recently into Brooklyn and we have a barbecue, and all we do is grill.
Fun.
It's really my favorite thing. It's just like, whether it's veggies or fish, or like, we're right by the Meat Hook in Williamsburg, which is delicious. And so, you know, we just, yeah, it's a lot so of cool. grilling.
You have to get Sarah's book, Wild Adventure Cookbook.
Oh my God, I'm going to.
If you're into grilling, yes. She like is grilling everything.
So good.
But like on a beach. Oh, it's amazing.
That's my dream.
It's amazing. Have you had a proper vacation? Speaking of a beach, have you had a vacation in a while?
I actually did. I have to say, we were super lucky. We went to France for a wedding, and we did Paris and wine country. And, you know, you need a vacation from your vacations. Like, how much wine can you drink in 2 weeks? It was sort of the gist of that trip. But, yeah, I mean, we've been really blessed in our staff and our team. Like, most of my team in Soho and Williamsburg has been with me since the beginning. So there's trust there, which is really nice. And, you know, it's hard to find a good team, but once you do, it's, as you know, it becomes like family, and they're your support system. So the fact that we trust them to go away is dreamy.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you and I also were talking yesterday, we brought up Danny Meyer, you know, patron saint of all restaurateurs.
Yep.
And some good advice I had gotten from Danny was advice that his grandfather had given to him, because when he opened his first place, it was just one problem. He looked at it as one problem after another.
Yeah.
And his grandfather was basically like, you just need to sort of frame your thinking.
Sure.
Like, things will come up constantly. When you own a restaurant, it's just, or even a little coffee shop, it's just one thing after another. But if you look at them as problems, you just shouldn't even be in the business.
Yeah. I mean, you'll lose your mind.
Yeah.
You have to find a positive outlook.
Right. But if you just look at them as like, things that need to be solved, mm-hmm. and almost look at it differently, you know, reframe your thinking and look at them as like, it's like a puzzle that needs to be.
Yeah. You're playing Tetris all the time.
Exactly. I like Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That was
my
favorite.
Totally.
Yeah. So it's like playing Ms. Pac-Man every day.
Every day. And I think, like, you know, when I first opened the restaurant, I was like, all of these problems would arise, and I didn't realize that this was actually part of owning a restaurant. So I was like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. It's me. Our restaurant's failing. Like, all these things were super overwhelming. And when you do realize that this is just part of the business, and problem solving and finding solutions to things is your day to day, it's like you can breathe and be like, okay, but just how are we going to do this?
But it is so easy to feel overwhelmed. I feel like that all the time now. Like,
yeah.
I'll just stop in the middle of the day and be like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed.
I was not a yoga person before I opened the restaurants. And I very quickly was like, I'm losing my mind here. Like, the stress levels were crazy. And I started doing yoga, and it was truly like my outlet for my mental sanity.
Oh, good for you. Do you still do it?
I do. I've gotten into Orange Theory recently, which is a whole other thing that I'm like becoming obsessed with.
Orange Theory. I don't even know what that is.
It's like, it's running weights and the rowing machine in an hour class, and you have a trainer telling you what to do, and it's just like, you don't even have time to think. So it's a lot more cardio driven. So I go to that for my health and my body, and then hot yoga, Moto, or Core Power for my sanity.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Good advice.
Yeah.
All right. What else can we talk about? What is next for Egg Shop?
Oh,
world domination.
Next? I'm just finally like being able to breathe. I mean, listen.
Or nothing. You don't have to have something next.
I really, really would love to see Egg Shop in, you know, every major city across the country. Like, I think it's something that works, and it's accessible, and it's understandable, and
it's fun.
It's fun. I mean, that's the idea. Like, I think we try to create a brand with the restaurant as well. It's like, we're taking our food seriously, and that it's like the best ingredients you can have. But like, we have funny names, you know, like the grain bowl is called the spandex, and the beast is one of our sandwiches. You know, it's like, let's have fun with this and enjoy ourselves while we're working our asses off. So we're figuring out what's next. There's a few cities that we have in mind, and you know, there's other, again, when I got into this, it was so Egg Shop driven. And now that I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I sort of have this figured out, it's like new possibilities come up, and maybe there will be another restaurant that is departure. Yeah,
would you consider doing another concept?
You know, maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. I look at someone like Vicky Freeman, who is amazing. And she was just very kind to me when I started out. And I appreciated that because I didn't know anyone.
No, Vicky, tell us about Vicky.
Oh, Vicky Freeman. So she owns Rosie's and Cook Shop and a few other restaurants in the city. And so she's a restaurateur, and she doesn't have a single concept, right? So she has these different concepts, and she's just a badass, I think. And I think any woman who's kind to this, like, other woman getting involved who doesn't really know what they're doing, like, it meant so much to me at the time. I think we talked about this yesterday, like, I wasn't a part of the community. I was super intimidated, and it's still something I would like to get more involved in. But she was just really gracious, and I really appreciated that.
Well, now you're part of the bomb squad.
I'm so stoked. I feel so lucky.
So anybody who's listening, if you know folks who want to invest in a very hot concept, DM Sarah or get in touch with her through the Egg Shop website. Weirder things have happened, right?
Oh, my God.
We had Jen Pelka on the show who runs Magnum PR out in San Francisco and has the Riddler Champagne Bar out there.
Oh, cool.
And she put together this really interesting investment strategy. She had 33 different women invest in the wine bar. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my God. I love that.
It's so cool. She did a show on it. It's still one of my favorite shows. But I think she is teaching a class on how to raise money at Cherry Bomb University.
I need to go to that ASAP.
I know. I think that's going to be one of the most popular classes. Definitely. But seriously, if anybody's listening and has advice for Sarah or connections or wants to invest, like, get in touch. Why not? And I am going to connect you to my pal Riley.
Yes. And, much appreciated. Any connections that any of you guys have out there.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
And say hi to me if you're ever in the shops. I think a lot of times people come in and I'll get a note or something. Like, I saw you, Mike. Please always say hi. Like, I'm in there for a reason. And, like, I like meeting our guests and women that come in.
People
right?
don't always do that.
Yeah.
You know, the chef is back there toiling away by his or herself.
Yeah.
And
I'm, like, buzzing
around. Yeah.
And it's like, please always say hi. I love that. Especially if you're in the industry. Like, recently Jean from Vinegar Hill came in and she... It's like, you know, I actually was serving her, and I thought it was her, but I wasn't sure. And she finally was like, this is your place, isn't it? I'm like, it is. And she was awesome. And so we just sort of, like, started chatting. So stuff like that really goes a long way.
I love when people say, are you the owner?
Yeah. Are you the owner?
It's like, why? Because I'm sweeping and I'm doing this and I'm doing that.
How did you guess?
Am I the one who looks insane? So yeah, that's always fun. But definitely say hi and go visit Sarah at Egg Shop.
Thank you.
You've got two locations to choose from, the Williamsburg one or the Nolita one.
Yeah.
And I love egg sandwiches, so
Thank
why the heck
so
not?
Thank you so much, Gary.
I saw you have a soft scramble.
Yeah.
Like tartine situation? Is like an open face sandwich?
Oh, we do a ricotta scramble.
Looks so good.
That's one of the newer sandwiches, and it's ricotta scramble with truffle and sourdough.
Ooh,
like,
I'm a soft scramble.
Same.
I love the long, like, if you could take 30 minutes to make those scrambled eggs, who has 30 minutes to make scrambled
eggs?
Also, no one.
People are so particular about how they like their eggs, but I'm a scramble girl too. But yeah, it really is amazing how many ways you can make an egg. You know, and
I think it
sort of says a lot about who you are.
That's
you like
true.
Your egg.
Before I let you go, I just want to get another piece of advice from you. I don't know if you have this at your fingertips, but you're a career changer and you had an idea and you just went for it.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people have ideas and they don't know how to take it to the next level. Like, just what's that mental thing that got you to do that?
I think, like, always put out your ideas into the world. Like, don't keep them to yourself, because the more you put it out there, the more, like, it starts to trickle and people hear you and things start to move and there's momentum built. The other thing is, know what you're good at and know what you're not. Know your strengths, and when you need help, find people and surround yourself with people who can support you. That has been the number one most important thing for me.
That's great. Well, I'm so happy to have you as a new friend and
Thank
a new
you.
Industry buddy.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from you. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Carrie.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That is it for today's show. Also, thank you to Sarah Glover and Louisa Brimble. Make sure to grab their Wild Adventure Cookbook so you can start planning your next culinary adventure. And again, a huge thanks to Sarah Schneider. If you're thinking about grabbing brunch this weekend and you're in NYC, be sure to check out Egg Shop. Also, thank you to our sponsors, Bob's Red Mill, Vital Farms Pasture-Raised Eggs, and Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School. Thank you to our associate producer, Jess Zeidman, and to the band Tra La La for our theme song. Don't forget, tickets are on sale for Cherry Bomb University, happening October 26th, 27th, and 28th in New York City. See cherrybomb.com for more. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everyone. You're the bomb.
Radio Cherry Bomb is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.